And welcome, believers and lunatics, to Lucha Lowdown. I am your host and El Jefe of this podcast, James Kincaid. And today, we welcome back one of our favorite guests. He is the mayor of Slamtown, the Lucha Underground champion, and the star and creator of the new movie, Boone the Bounty Hunter. Johnny Mundo joins us again today. Thanks for coming back again, John.
Thanks for having me, bro.
Yeah, absolutely. Before we dive into Boone, I know you and I, we caught up a little bit at All Pro Wrestling's Cal Palace Royale, where you, Jeff Cobb, Brian Cage, and Lester the Legend, I mean, you guys tore the house down. That was a phenomenally fun match to watch. But what was it like for you being back at the Cal Palace and just that whole scene? Because it was a pretty rad spectacle.
It was amazing. The Cal Palace always has a special place in my heart because it's one of the arenas that I used to go to when I was a kid. So getting back there for APW was really cool, especially for that show. There was a ton of people there, and you never know what you're going to get sometimes with independent wrestling, and APW really pulled it off.
Yeah, no, completely agree. It was a lot of fun. It was great seeing you guys out there. But now getting into Boone, we here at the Lowdown, we watched it, we reviewed it, we loved it. So great job. It's a ton of fun. Yeah. And all the believers and soon-to-be Boonatics, you guys need to go out there and need to buy it. It's available on Amazon, iTunes, Google Play, Microsoft. Did I miss any?
Vimeo, Vudu, and all the on-demand networks.
Excellent, excellent. Yeah, so I encourage you all to go out there and buy it. It's definitely worth it. It's a fun watch. When did the genesis of making this start for you?
So when I left WWE in late 2011, I knew that I wanted to do an action movie. And I didn't really have the complete concept of the exact movie, the story, the character, any of that, really. So it was just kind of marinating in my head that I wanted to do this action movie. And then everything started to take shape in 2012. I wanted to do a movie about parkour. I wanted the character to be kind of a lovable, overconfident, that even at times self-deprecating, reluctant hero type guy. Similar to Jack Burton, Big Trouble in Little China.
Yeah.
And without taking some of the action style from Jackie Chan, but Lethal Weapon had the tone that I was going for, same as the Rush Hour franchise. So a lot of the ideas that I had floating around in my head just started coming together with the creation of this character who used parkour to chase people instead of running away. And then it just started growing from there. I wanted to make the guy a reality show bounty hunter, so we had a reason to do crazy, flashy parkour instead of just practical parkour. And then it just took off.
Yeah, can you talk a little bit about sort of like the unique action that Boone the Bounty Hunter brings? Because, I mean, it's like the stunts that you do and everything like that, and the action scenes, they are really awesome.
I literally just posted something on Instagram that I think illustrates specifically what a previs is. And you can previs a complete fight scene, you can previs a move. But one of the things that made the action in Boone so cool, from my opinion, because cool is subjective, but I took everything that I'm the best at, parkour, MMA, boxing, and pro wrestling, and started messing around in different parkour gyms and training facilities with ways of putting action together that integrated parkour, pro wrestling, and traditional stunt choreo, and then picked my favorite pieces of that. And this is a collaborative effort, too, with a lot of talented people. Brady Romberg, David Elson, Chris Brewster, Michael Lair, Kim Doe, Tim Hewlett. So many talented people we trained with and just tried a bunch of weird stuff with. And that stuff, like the best stuff, is the stuff that we ended up using in the movie. And also there was, of course, with low-budget movies, stuff that you didn't have time to do that I'd love to do in another film.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we thoroughly enjoyed all that choreography, and just watching you do those stunts was incredible. I mean, I knew you could do it from watching you wrestle and stuff like that, but it was fun seeing it in this setting. But I've read that this was 5 years in the making for you. I'm sure that probably came with a lot of ups and downs, and maybe a lot of people might have thrown in the towel on a project, but how did you sort of remain undeterred and turn this into a reality?
Well, your motivation comes and goes for sure over a 5-year period, definitely. But from the original beginning of the concept, just writing. And then I spent so much time training. And some, like, there were some days where I was with Brady and we were training, and it might not have even been for specifically a specific fight scene or gag in Boone. It was just in general. We were training kicks and flips and parkour. And I did that for so long that it really leveled up my pro wrestling, actually, as a result. The stuff that I'm capable of in the ring. But the journey of making Boone and designing the action was always interesting to me, because I could see myself improving, and every day we hit the gym and we thought of a different idea. The same I could say for the script. I mean, it's a painstaking process to, when you get to draft 20 or something, the idea of reading that thing again is sometimes a little bit overwhelming.
I can imagine. But,
it was feeling like it was getting closer and closer. And then, I've talked about this a couple of times. I tried to raise money for it. It didn't work. I eventually had to put up my house and use the money from the sale of that to fund the project.
Wow.
And after I did that, it was easier to stay motivated, because a half-finished movie isn't worth anything.
And you put a lot of chips on the table. I mean, man, putting your house on the line for that, that took some stones.
And, well, thank you. Yeah, it for sure did. And it was also a lot of, like, just relationships that I've been building in the entertainment industry. They called in a lot of favors. And the further along in the process I went, I realized that for someone in my position to get projects done, if I expect everyone to work on this project and believe in it, I pretty much had to believe in it 100% and go all in. If I didn't do that, I don't know if the project would have happened. Maybe it would have happened a few years later, or maybe it would have slipped away and then just been forgotten about. And that happens with so many projects and scripts out here in Hollywood.
Well, you stuck to your guns. You got it done.
Yeah, man.
And I can't talk about Boone without talking about some of the great cameos that are in it. I mean, right off the bat, again, keeping it relatively spoiler-free, but you see in the trailer, Kevin Sorbo's in it. The Hercules references are great. Were there any other things that you were sort of maybe left on the cutting room floor that you wanted to sort of, you know, as far as the Boone jokes with Sorbo?
Tons of stuff, man. We were cracking a bunch of funny Xena jokes. And we had so much good footage with everybody that it made the editing difficult but interesting. Sorbo knocked it out of the park. Rampage Jackson, Spencer Grammer, Ozark Chow, the crew, all those people were amazing. And really, the people that worked behind the scenes, the crew and the cast, made me really level up my acting.
Excellent.
It's, same thing when you're wrestling. I mean, I felt like that throughout my wrestling career frequently. If you're in the ring with Rey Mysterio or The Undertaker or Cena or Triple H, you're wrestling up to their level or as close to it as you can.
Gotcha.
And I felt like the people surrounding me in this project were really high caliber, and it brought the best out of me.
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely a lot of fun to watch. And some of the other ones, Lorenzo Lamas in there for Lucha Underground fans, and Chavo Guerrero in one of the sort of the credit roll outtakes, I guess, it was great to see as well. So that was fun. Did you get anybody else from Lucha Underground be like, hey, I want to be in the next one you do?
Oh, tons of people have said that. Everyone wants to be in the next one. Also in this one, we got Lil Cholo.
Yes.
I got a quick cameo in the fight where we storm the compound. Aaron Aguilera makes an appearance. Steve Payne, a wrestler named Fern Owens, is in the fight scene in San Borracho. And also a wrestler named Jet Jansen makes a couple appearances throughout the film. The willingness of people to be a part of something cool is really humbling. And I think it speaks to the idea that if you're trying to make a movie because you think it's awesome and because you think people are going to like it, people come out to help. Everyone likes watching it, as opposed to and this is frequently the case with me now, getting approached by someone who says, I've got this idea for a movie. It's definitely going to make a ton of money. It's like, and then they start listing some like example movies that made a bunch of money in the same genre.
Yeah.
And usually immediately, if that's the first part of someone's pitch when they're talking about their movie, I'm usually not interested.
Gotcha.
Because
yeah.
As soon as it's like, this movie's going to make a bunch of money. And especially now after my experience with Boone, I feel like if you want to make a bunch of money, go and invest in the stock market or buy real estate. Don't try to make a bunch of money on a movie. Make a movie because you think it's going to be really good, because you want to, and because you think people are going to like it.
Very, very well said. And again, keeping it spoiler free, this movie does leave it open for a sequel. I don't know if that is something that is on the horizon. I mean, you just got this one. It's probably too soon to even start thinking about that, you know, getting back into that again. But my co-host came up with a little bit of fantasy booking that I absolutely loved, and that is to get Luis Fernandez Gil in that sequel. Because I just think you and him in a Boone sequel would be terrific.
I would absolutely love that. And he was one of the first people I sent the Boone screener to, and he watched it right away. And this is before the cut was even locked, and told me what he thought. And he came to the LA screening, the tail end and the after party. And obviously you brought it up, so you probably think so too. Ridiculously talented.
Yeah.
I think he's
except at sailing, which we talked about before.
True. But it's still fun. It's still fun to go sailing with
yes.
the guy. You know what I mean? It's
yeah.
actually more fun because of his enthusiasm. I think he levels up everybody in the backstage vignettes of Lucha Underground.
Yes, absolutely. So that definitely would be a lot of fun. You mentioned the screeners, and that's something that, I mean, I pay attention to your social media and everything like that. They look like so much fun, and I love that you're doing them. I know you've one coming up in Seattle on May 25th, I believe, so people should get their
yeah.
tickets to that. But what has that sort of experience been like, doing those screeners and premieres and everything?
There's no better way to tell whether or not your movie works in general, and especially whether or not the jokes work, like the one-liners and the confrontations and the action and the stunts, than sitting in a theater full of people that are watching your movie. And then a lot of the, as far as Hong Kong action, when it was evolving, a big part of the reason it evolved in the way that it did was they would have these big screenings of a lot of the big action movies, and they would do that several times before the cut was locked, and pending the reaction of the people in the theater, they would recut the action or recut the jokes for pacing and effect to pop a crowd. And I think that is really cool to me because it seems so similar to what wrestling is, like to pop the crowd, to make people like it. I mean, Dr. Dre said one time when people asked him what inspired him to make music, he wanted to pop the crowd. And I think that's a really good motivation for making entertainment, because ultimately, isn't that what we're supposed to be doing?
Yeah.
Entertaining people. That's why I watch. I watch stuff because I want to have a good time. When you're watching in those screenings, it gives me a really good, clear idea of what I just said, all the stuff that worked and didn't work. But also, in a larger sense, an idea of specifically what type of stuff works for me. And it's a tricky business. Acting and entertainment is there's no formula. There's no one answer for everyone. It's subjective, and it's different depending on, I don't know, an infinite number of little variables with who somebody is. But going to the screenings has helped me identify my sweet spot and the type of things that I like to watch. And I think that I'm best at, which is what I'm going to try to do more of with my own projects going forward.
Yeah, I mean, that's very cool, kind of how, like, the psychology of wrestling, you know, translates onto the screen. And I do want to switch gears into wrestling a little bit. I have to ask you about this one because it's all a buzz and a Twitter online, but did you happen to see Randy Orton's critique of indie wrestling? And I know you're a guy that's had terrific success in both, and I was just kind of interested to hear your thoughts on it.
I think it's a good critique of indie wrestling, especially from Randy's point of view. I don't feel that way at all. I feel ultimately the similar to what we were just talking about with Boone. Wrestling is for the people, for the fans. Mm-hmm. I'm a fan of wrestling. I always have been. And a lot of the stuff that I've jumped out of my chair for recently and been excited about throughout my career was fast-paced, hard-hitting, high-flying action.
Yeah.
And I also got really excited for stories and invested in characters and would be punching my buddies in the shoulder when The Undertaker's music hit and he was walking towards the ring. Same thing with HBK and Hogan.
Hell yeah.
But there's room for all of it. Although, for some reason, knowing Randy, it just feels like a lot of people are taking that tweet really seriously.
He's doing a little bit of trolling, right?
I don't know. I mean, who cares?
Yeah,
who cares?
I mean, he's trying to get a rise out of people, and I think mission accomplished. You know, I think
it's working.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, exactly. It's you know, look, I'm as guilty as anyone that it's still real to us crowd and stuff like that. I think, I mean, you guys know how to rile people and stuff like that.
And who knows if he's had like someone pissed on his cornflakes some morning and he's watching some indie wrestling and felt like putting something out there. Good. I think the more of that stuff, the better. Opinions are great, especially in wrestling, because it gives people something to talk about and debate about.
Very well said.
I like that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I appreciate both WWE and independent wrestling. I don't think they're mutually exclusive. It's like the Star Wars, Star Trek thing. It's like, well, I can like both, right? I never got that, you know, because they're different. But I do want to jump into Lucha Underground. I mean, it's coming back May 31st from its mid-season break, season 3. You are the Lucha Underground champion. I know all the believers can't wait for it to come back on El Rey Network. We're all super excited. But I want to get from your perspective. I mean, you're the champion. What has sort of been waiting out this midseason break just to, you know, sort of see where the story goes been like for you as a performer?
It's been a little bit of a bummer. I feel really good about the second half of season 3. It's some of the best wrestling I've done in my career. And when we come back, it's me versus Willie Mack in an all-night-long match, which I'm really proud of, and I can't wait for it to be on TV.
Yeah.
I'm ready for Lucha to come back already, and I think a lot of people are too. So when it gets back, I'm going to be really excited.
Yeah, it's almost like a little bit of frustration to, like, you know, sort of show off and be able to talk about some of the cool things that you've done, right?
Well, I mean, there's pros and cons. There's that, but the pro is the longer we wait for season 3 to come back on the air, the more I forget what we did. So
okay.
It's going to be almost like watching a new show.
I do think that's kind of cool is that, you know, a lot of the performers of Lucha Underground sort of watch along because, you know, you guys don't get to see, I assume, like all of the episodes as a finished product ahead of time, unless maybe, you know, you seek them out. So I think there's probably a little bit of discovery there for even the performers.
Definitely. I mean, we probably could like figure out a way to see the episodes if we were willing to drive to the finishing suite and, and bug everybody. But I usually don't see anything until it's aired or airing on the LA Network.
Gotcha. Well, and thanks to Lucha Underground and Netflix, you can now Lucha and Chill. We touched on this a little bit when we spoke to you last time, and you were talking about how this is a game changer for wrestling. I mean, what kind of impact do you see Lucha Underground being on Netflix, just that impact on Lucha and the business as a whole?
Well, I've already felt it. I mean, when I more and more I'm getting a Lucha Underground chance, Johnny Mundo chance, mm-hmm. and the amount of households that Netflix is in and the number of people watching Lucha Underground is multiplied because of Netflix. And that's great, especially great for me because I feel like I've done really solid work that I'm proud of on Lucha Underground.
Yeah, definitely.
I can make up a bunch of stuff and guesstimate about what it's going to mean for wrestling and the industry as a whole. I think it means that more people are going to tune in to watch Lucha Underground on the LA Network, and more people means the potential of expanding the temple, possibly having more seats, going on a live tour, which we almost did this year.
Yeah.
And a number of things. And the coolest thing is the number of people watching on Netflix is so much that all that stuff is going to happen faster.
Yeah.
Which is cool because I want it to be now that we're doing live tours, and I want to be having millions of people watching Lucha Underground every week.
Well, and like you said, the Netflix is only going to accelerate that, and it's, I mean, even just in my experience, people that, you know, maybe didn't know to seek out El Rey at first, but it's like Netflix is so, this generation, just like, you know, easily accessible, you know, instant gratification. So it's definitely working already, even just with, you know, my circle of people. They're like, oh, you know, I'll check this out now. So that's been great to see. And one of the things I've noticed about the Lucha Underground audience is that by and large, you know, they don't really dump on any wrestler they have going out there, in particular ones that are being put out there as a babyface. Both competitors do get cheers a lot, but I feel like no one that's like being pushed gets booed out of the building like in some other places. Is there something to that in terms of how Lucha Underground story tells or its presentation as to why, you know, you guys don't have that same sort of issue that seems to be, you know, pretty prevalent throughout, you know, other places in wrestling?
I think the creative team and the wrestlers are really in tune with the temple, the believers, the people that are coming to the shows. I mean, that's first and foremost. Second, the roster of Lucha Underground is really talented, mm-hmm. and they know the temple. They know what people expect and how to play on those expectations. So I think that's why you're seeing the effect of what you just mentioned, as opposed to having someone shoved down the throats of everybody.
It's been sort of a nice refresher as an old school wrestling fan to not have to sort of combat that when watching on TV. This next one, legitimately a question coming from a place of just wanting clarity and, you know, my own lack of understanding. But it's been sort of well documented, like Penta and Phoenix, they've left AAA, and I don't want to get into the details of all that because I'm honestly in the dark of what they really are. But for me as a fan, I know when other fans see news like that, they start to worry how it might affect their status on Lucha Underground. Is there any sort of carryover or penalty, or is it pretty well compartmentalized?
It's pretty well compartmentalized, but it's tricky because there's a lot of the same people that are owners or part owners of different promotions and or corporations. And some of these corporations and LLCs are part owners of different networks and other organizations that own parts of larger organizations.
Yeah.
And what I just said is complicated.
Yeah.
But as far as will it affect Phoenix and Pentagon on Lucha Underground, no. The decision is going to be theirs, whether or not they want to wrestle on Lucha Underground. I saw both of them not too long ago at AAW, and they're both excited about Lucha Underground.
Awesome.
They are not excited about AAA. But they... we're fired up about Lucha. They're ready to come back. Hopefully it remains that way. I'm a big fan of both of those guys.
Yeah.
And I feel like they're a big part of the show, and it would really hurt to lose those guys.
Yeah. Well, thank you for sort of clearing that up, because like you said, it's a complicated thing and really just sort of being in the dark on it. You know, I know a lot of fans were worrying, so that's great to hear. And I know you're a busy guy, John, so this is the last one I got for you. If you can just give us a little tease on what the believers can expect from you and just from Lucha Underground the rest of Season 3.
You've been watching Lucha Underground this whole time, and the entire roster has been getting more polished. The people in front of the camera and behind the camera are getting better at what they do. Personally, the second half of Season 3 is the darkest you'll ever see Johnny Mundo doing some of the craziest stuff
Damn.
that I've ever done in the ring. And the rest of the roster exists in that same universe. Everybody's competitive. Everybody's trying to one-up each other. So expect some of the best wrestling you've ever seen with the second half of Season 3. And some of it I can't even remember because it happened so long ago. I can't wait to watch it again.
Love it, Johnny. So it's coming back May 31st. Season 3 returns on El Rey Network. Also, Boone the Bounty Hunter. Get out there and buy it, believers. Amazon, iTunes. I got mine on iTunes. I know it's on Google Play, Microsoft, and all other on-demand sort of properties that you can get it there. John, you want to throw your social media out and anything else that you want to promote?
Absolutely. Thanks for letting everyone know where to get Boone. Get it if you like it. Please leave a review. Movies like this can really benefit a great deal from people like you listening to this that review the movie. You can follow me on Twitter at The Real Morrison, on Instagram at Joan Hennigan, on my Facebook page, John Morrison, or the Boone the Bounty Hunter Facebook page, Boone the Bounty Hunter, for more information about me, wrestling, Boone the Bounty Hunter, or blood, sweat, and tanner.
Love it. Johnny, thank you so much for making the time. This is always a lot of fun. And looking forward to see what you do next, both in Lucha and on the big screen, all right?
All right, brother. Thanks for having me.